Cohen, the name of this program is Jefferson's Crush. Thomas Jefferson is one of the best documented figures in history. His public and private papers will ultimately fill 60 of these volumes. Of letters alone, he left more than 50,000. Among these is a relatively little known letter that shows Jefferson in a light unfamiliar to most of us, as a mature man, 5 years a widower, swept off his feet by a beautiful woman, a married woman, whom he met in Paris. We take it to the man, the woman, the letter, starting in a minute from now.
The Earth's surface is like the skin of an apple. To disturb it is to destroy it. We've been strip mining less than 40 years. But we've left a signature on the land that centuries won't erase. Today's strip mining is a growing national problem. Some efforts have been made to restore the land to its former beauty and best natural purpose. But you can't put it back. The scars cut in the earth today won't disappear tomorrow. A strip mine is forever.
Having performed the sad office of handing you into your carriage and seeing the wheels get actually into motion, I turned and walked more dead than alive to my home and was carried home. Seated by my fireside, solitary and sad, a dialogue took place between my heart and my head. Said my heart, "I am the most wretched of all earthly beings." Said my head, "Well, this is one of the scrapes into which you are always getting us." You will remember that when our friend Trumbull told us of the merits of these good people...
"And her husband does miniatures. Very good ones, too. Matter of fact, they're both painters. You'd like the Cosways. One can become very attached to such people. Even if they're English."
"Well, really, Trumbull, I'm not looking for new acquaintances. The greater their merits and talents, the more dangerous to my peace of mind."
"How do you arrive at that?"
"Well, the more attached one becomes, the keener the regrets at parting." "Why do you laugh?"
"In the short time I've been your guest in this house, I've seen more people around your table enjoying their attachment to you and you enjoying attachment to more people than I ever expect to find under any single roof anywhere. Now, why are you afraid of two more?"
"Have you met Madame Helvetius?"
"Yes."
"The Abbey Morellet?"
"At your table."
"General Lafayette and the Marquesa?"
"Thanks to you."
"The Duchess d'Anville?"
"Sparkling woman."
"Well, they're just a few. They're just here in Paris. Realize what a wrench it will be parting from this company when, as I must one day, I shall pack my trunks and go back to Virginia. I love having friends, Trumbull, but I don't go around collecting them. Not anymore."
"All right. All right, I won't force the Cosways on you."
"Thank you. Moderation in all things."
"Did you know there's a gallery a few streets down showing some first-rate architectural drawings?"
"That's so."
"Including a rendering of the dome of the cereal market. The one you admire so much."
"Yes, it's a noble dome, one of the best in Europe. Designed by Legrand and Molyneux, if I remember correctly."
"I'm going to the gallery tomorrow. Will you join me?"
"Now, tomorrow's a busy day for me. And in the evening, I'm..."
"Tomorrow is the last day of the exhibition."
"Oh." "An extraordinary expanse of art, Steve. The support is very ingeniously bridged."
"They used a method of construction that hasn't been around since the Renaissance. Obviously, Legrand and Molyneux have seen the Pantheon in Rome."
"That is worth everything I've seen in Paris.
Oh, come now. It's only a fair drawing now, the one above it. Oh, what a coincidence. Those are the Cosways.
God, you didn't tell me about her.
I tried to. She also sings, plays the harpsichord, paints, composes music, and speaks seven languages.
All that in so beautifully contained.
By contained, do you mean reserved or the way she's put together?
Both. I mean both.
Would you like to meet them?
Yes, very much.
Ah,
Andre. How good to see you.
Madame, may I present His Excellency, the Honorable Minister?
I'm sure your friends aren't interested in titles. I'm Thomas Jefferson.
Richard Causeway.
Causeway?
My wife, Maria.
Enchanted.
Oh, Angel Wrong, sir. I am interested in titles. They convey so much.
Sir, you are very distinguished without your title. And besides, you are very well known to all Paris.
I'm not a fraction as well known as my predecessor, Dr. Franklin.
Ah, but you are not being fair to yourself. Dr. Franklin was here for years before you replaced him.
No, ma'am, I succeed Benjamin Franklin. No one can replace him.
I take it you're interested in the graphic arts, Mr. Jefferson.
Well, I have a considerable...
Mr. Jefferson is a sometime architect on a large scale.
Well, I'm a full-time painter on a small scale. I do miniatures.
Small in size only. They have a remarkable charm and purity.
Exactly the words of the Prince of Wales. I did a portrait of his friend, Mrs. Fitzherbert, which he admired very much. At the moment, I'm about to begin portraits of the family of the Duke of Orleans. In fact, that's what's brought us to Paris.
We are on our way to Saint-Cloud for a visit to that gallery and dinner afterward. Perhaps you would both like to join us.
Oh, yes, by all means.
Well, I should very much like to, but I'm expected at dinner deep in the city.
Well, we're engaged tonight, too, but if we leave now, we can all be back in time.
Well...
Oh, come along.
The core of this place leaves something to be desired.
Well, not so the food, I'm glad to say. But the waiter seems to have disappeared. Excuse me.
We have something in common, Mrs. Cosway.
I hope so. What is it?
We've distributed lies by messenger to break various engagements. So we are equally steeped in crime.
Is she very pretty? The Duchess with whom you should be dining at this very moment?
Would you rather she were plain? She's the Duchess de La Rochefoucauld d'Anville, and she's in her 70s.
Ah, but then you owe her the respect of age.
Point. No more or less than you owe me for the same cause. Proportionate. We were discussing vintages.
Oh, yes. I believe they have a very good Malvoisie here.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Yes, but I can't find the waiter. The impudence of the fellow. Apparently went off on his holidays, having shown us to our table.
I'd like to suggest an epitaph to be inscribed on the tomb of all such waiters. Are you interested?
Oh, yes. Waiting? Well,
God finally caught his eye.
And toast to the proposition that the real object of the American Revolution was to give Americans freedom to drink French wine rather than English tea.
I'll endorse that.
You know, Mr. Jefferson, I'm impressed by the ease and grace with which you, a revolutionary, associate with the finest aristocracy of France. I should have thought you'd take a dim view of them.
Hardly, being an aristocrat himself.
You know, when one is with aristocrats, the roughness of the human mind is thoroughly rubbed off. It seems that one could glide through the whole of one's life among them without so much as a jostle. But when the rich get too rich and the poor too poor, there can be a terrible explosion.
How would you prevent that from happening?
I'd make bold to suggest several ways. If I were the French aristocracy, I'd begin by subdividing property. I'd parcel my land into small lots and sell them to the people for a reasonable price, instead of hogging these vast estates that are used only for private hunting.
What about primogeniture?
Primogeniture? Oh, heavens, what's that?
Primogeniture is the ancient system under which only the eldest son of the family, and he alone, can inherit property. I introduced a bill in my home state of Virginia to get rid of it. The bill passed. And now inherited property is shared equally by all the children.
And you think that might prevent a revolution in this country?
Well, not that alone, of course. Still another approach would be to exempt from taxation all those below a certain level of income, and to tax the wealthy on a geometric progression as their wealth increases.
Well, what you're proposing is a graduated tax on property and income.
You could call it that, yes.
Oh, well, you never see that in France, nor in England, nor in your America, nor anywhere else either.
I have to agree with that. Nobody in their right minds would put up with such a law.
Heavens, let's get on to a more pleasant subject.
My friends, it's too late tonight to start another subject. But, my dear Cosways, this has been a wonderful evening for me.
For us, too.
Yes, indeed. Oh, incidentally, if affairs of state do not make prisoners of you, I do wish you'd distract my Maria from the boredom which will surely overtake her within the next few weeks.
But what can you mean, Richard?
Well, I shall be fully occupied with the portraits of the numerous Orleans family for many full days and sometimes into the night.
But, my dear, these gentlemen...
These gentlemen will gladly escape any prison of affairs to spend even a chance moment with the Serenissima Principessa. Right, Trumbull?
Serenissima Principessa. Oh, you are all spoiling me outrageously.
Oh, that damage has long been done. Well, shall we?
Indeed. Yes, all right.
Have a night, Captain?
Not another.
Well, thank you for trapping me into that evening.
You fall hard, Mr. Minister.
Nonsense. She's happily married to Cosway, and I am married to my work.
But your work does not have burning eyes and golden hair.
You drank too much Malvoisie. I watched you.
Watched me? You didn't take your eyes off her, not once.
It's no wonder you're a great painter. You have such a vivid imagination.
Well, we'll see. Are you going to take up Cosway's suggestion to distract his wife?
He was just making pleasantries.
You mean you won't be seeing the Serenissima Principessa?
I didn't say that.
But how could you propose such a thing?
Because they are gentlemen and you are a lady. I've implicit trust in you.
But he couldn't say anything other than what he said.
Oh, now, do you seriously believe that he wouldn't be pleased to spend time in your company?
What rice and sour cream delight is yours in just one pan tonight?
The real rice stroganoff. Rice-a-roni stroganoff.
What dish so rich in taste appeal with ground beef added makes a meal?
The real rice stroganoff. Rice-a-roni stroganoff.
Just add the meat and it's complete. A one-pan culinary treat.
Sauteed and simmered, the flavor can't be beat. Rice-a-roni, the San Francisco treat.
When you get a coffee brewer from Alhambra for your office, you can forget about blah coffee and all the mess of making it. Because with an Alhambra coffee brewer, you just empty a pre-measured coffee packet into a throwaway paper filter. Place the filter in the coffee brewer and add water. And in about 3 minutes, you get coffee that's as delicious as any you'd get in the finest restaurant. With a coffee brewer from Alhambra Water Company, the coffee in your office won't be blah anymore.
We shampooed this girl's hair and treated the half on your right with Clairol's Condition. That is the one and only difference in the way this hair was handled. You can see what Condition does for dry hair. It can make the most damaged hair look like thick silk. If you don't believe one picture, maybe you'll believe four. Remember that name, Condition, only from Clairol.
When Whitefront decided to put its name on a can of paint, they set some pretty high standards. For openers, it had to earn the quality seal of a national testing service. Our latex house paint had to be good enough to carry a 7-year warranty. It had to come in over 1,000 dazzling colors and clean up fast with just soap and water. Well, the paints good enough to wear the Whitefront label are here. Buy them at Whitefront's World of Color display. When you think of quality paint, think of Whitefront.
What a nice cadence to Thomas Jefferson. How convenient to have only two names.
Why, are you burdened with more than two?
Maria, Louisa, Catherine, Cecilia, Hadfield, Causeway.
Well, a rose by any other six names.
Sonnet of Petra. I've never read them in Italian.
Well, this will fix that. Here. There you are. Now you'll be better read than I am.
Impossible.
Now, what have we here? Fine old hymnal. It looks as though it might have been printed by old Gutenberg himself.
Yes, it's lovely.
That religious music, the concert spirituel last night, you felt it deeply.
Yes, I am very devoted to my religion. At one time I wanted to be a nun.
Really?
Yes. Even though I was almost killed by a religious maniac.
What happened?
I had six brothers and sisters. An insane nurse killed four of them, one by one. Because she thought that they would be taken immediately into heaven that way. No one suspected her until one day she was overheard singing to me, "Dear little Maria, I have sent four children to heaven before you, and I shall send you also."
What a terrible story.
The poor thing, she was sent to an asylum, of course.
Well, I'm very glad you didn't become a nun.
Why do you say that?
Because then I shouldn't have known you.
But I might have known God better.
Come now. One day we will all know him better.
You will not be angry if I tell you something.
How do I know unless you tell me?
But you must promise.
Very well, I promise.
I have heard that you are an atheist.
I have heard that too.
Are you?
My dear Principessa, listen to me. For years I've led the fight in America for the separation of church and state, and now finally it's happened. My Virginia is the first state to have the courage to rule that a man can be trusted to form his own opinions. Religion is a private affair. It happens inside, not outside us.
Would you destroy the church, then?
Oh, come now, stop thinking of me as an arch-fiend.
Arch-friend, then.
That's much better. Understand, I'm agreeable to all forms of religion, so long as none threatens any other. It does me no injury if my neighbor says there are 20 gods or no god at all. It neither picks my pocket nor breaks my leg.
But do you not think that it harms a man to deny his God?
That's strictly between him and his God. All I know is it harms a man to deny his freedom. Let him choose his own God, not have one thrust upon him, that's all I say.
Were your beliefs affected in any way by the death of your wife? I mean, in your attitude toward religion?
I was very bitter. And I grieved for a long while. But the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. It's always been his prerogative. It always will be. However, one's belief in God and one's attitude toward religion are not necessarily the same thing. Are they?
But you still haven't told me why you are called an atheist.
Well, it's like this. I managed to infuriate a good part, or I should say, the worst part of the clergy. They resented my bill for religious freedom because it challenged their right to compel anybody to support them. They're angry at having their power broken, so they call me an atheist. Remember, it wasn't so long ago in Virginia as here in France that heresy was a capital crime. A man could be thrown into prison for not comprehending the mystery of the Trinity.
I'm afraid of you when you talk like this.
Why?
Because it is your head speaking. And that marvelous device is far above me. It's in the clouds. It's unreachable.
Well, forgive me. Here I am on a beautiful day with a beautiful woman, and all I can talk about is religious freedom. I'd far rather talk about you.
Now you are returning to Earth.
What do I need of heaven when there's an angel close at hand? You know, when I'm with you, I feel like a boy of 18.
Oh, no. Well, then you would be far too young for me.
Well, better than too old. I don't know why I feel so sprightly. I haven't slept at all well lately, thinking of you. For 3 weeks you made it in. Suddenly I could meet, and yet I feel I could outrace a greyhound. Watch me take that hitch.
Are you hurt?
My arm. My wrist, I think, is broken. Oh. Serves me right.
We must get you to a surgeon.
What hurts most of all is falling in front of you. Ooh.
You are a silly, silly and very dear man.
People ask us, why does San Francisco Federal Savings pay higher interest rates than any commercial bank in the nation? Well, because Congress established us as a savings specialist. Federal rate control regulations allow us to pay higher interest rates on insured accounts than a bank, any bank. For more money for your money, switch to San Francisco Federal Savings. We make money, make money.
Which macaroni dinner has the creamiest cheese?
Golden grain macaroni and cheddar.
Which has the larger macaroni, if you please?
Golden grain macaroni and cheddar.
Makes meal planning a whole lot easier. Serve the dinner that's so much cheesier.
Golden grain macaroni and cheddar.
Bigger macaroni full of creamier cheddar. Looks so good, tastes even better.
Golden grain macaroni and cheddar.
As to myself, my health is good, except my wrist, which mends slowly, and my mind, which mends not at all, but broods constantly over your departure.
Tell me, after Richard and I return to England, will we ever meet again?
Punctually. If you are on one side of the earth, I on the other, my affections will pervade the whole mass of the globe in order to reach you.
Never mind your affections. What about you?
I go with my affections.
Would you actually come to where I am?
I would go to the
No.
Far...
That was unfair to ask. So many things happen. So many miles come between. So many people. So much living. You will forget me.
Never. Do you think Maria Louisa Catherine Cecilia Hadfield Cosway that I could possibly forget anybody with all those names? You are lodged in the warmest cell of my heart. Don't take alarm when I say that I love you. And will go on loving you as long as I live.
I'm not alarmed. I'm pleased. And also very sad.
Tell me why you're sad.
You know why.
I want to hear you say it.
Just thinking of things.
That can never be. Yes, I know.
If you were not Thomas Jefferson, author of the Declaration of Independence, Minister of the United States to the Kingdom of France, and I were not devoutly Catholic, and we met in some lovely vacuum in Paris.
But we could never meet at all under that proposition. We'd be two different people.
Allow me an idle summer fancy, Mr. Logical.
Very well. If you were not married, or being married had as few scruples as most of the women of the court.
And you had as few scruples as all of the men of the court.
And your soul were not chained to your church.
And your mind were not chained to your passion for freedom.
And you were ugly.
And you were stupid. I wanted you to kiss me. I feared it too. It was sweet and cherishable. And it must be the only one of its kind. Because if there were another, dearest Mr. Minister, it would be one of many. And still more. And we would become all the things that we are not and cannot ever be.
I repent, my girl of 100 names, and offer to take back the offending kiss.
You are incorrigible. You play with the sun in the shadows as though they were toys. As though you and I were engaged in some lovely prank.
The last thing in my heart is prankishness. You are dearer to me than I dare suggest. Believe me.
They never met again from the time Jefferson handed her into her carriage not long after that day in the country. A portrait of the actual Maria Causeway has come down to us. It helps to explain why Jefferson was so attracted to her. It was engraved by her husband.